So, hope for a weary world. This theme almost feels too fitting. Weariness. Has anyone else had a tough couple of weeks? All right, we got one honest person in the room. A couple of honest people. Things have just seemed to be more hairy for everyone that I know and love. On Monday, I'm like, is it a full moon yet? And no, it was not a full moon on Monday, but it's with us now. But things just seem to be hard. Our local synagogue had a bomb threat last week. The threat of war rages on for so many places in our planet. There have been quirky pastoral care needs recently. Sickness is up in the preschool, and the Valenti house is not immune to that. In fact, it kept us home this week, disrupting our traveling plans. Families are struggling. Hearts are hurting. People are exhausted. Maybe it's the season. Maybe it's all the expectations. Maybe it is the grief of these past few years that just keeps rolling in and coming out sideways. Maybe it is just life. Sometimes it feels like weariness is all life is. And this is where our Advent journey begins. In the beginning of Luke, the very beginning of Luke, we are introduced to Zechariah, who's a local temple priest, and his wife, Elizabeth. This couple has been super faithful before God and their community, and yet life has not held up its end of the bargain for them. They are childless. And I imagine behind that statement, there is a whole lot, a whole heap of weariness, grief, rage, and perhaps even hopelessness. As the scene opens, we hear Zechariah going to the temple to fulfill his duty to do his priestly things. And he goes into the inner sanctuary where God supposedly dwells. And this angel shows up. And he is terrified and overwhelmed by fear, which is kind of funny. Because if God's going to show up anywhere, we should expect God to show up in this place, right? And yet, perhaps you have sat similarly in a pew week after week and felt the dryness of it all. A sleepy God who stays hidden instead of being in the one spot where we would hope God would show up. The ritual, the routine, in the midst of all the weariness, can feel more like duty than an encounter with God. And so this angel scares the bejesus out of this priest. And the angel says what most angels say in the Bible, do not be afraid. Your prayers have been answered, and you are going to have a baby. John the Baptist. And we all know the story of John the Baptist. He is going to be amazing. He's going to return so many people to God. He's going to be a little quirky. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit of the ancestors. And Zechariah, this priest, this God guy who's devoted his whole life to this thing, who's been faithful, he can't believe it. He can't believe that God is actually going to answer a prayer and show up in a needed way. It has just been way too long. He can't fathom it. For they are too old. Life has been too hard. God is too late. It's just not possible. And because this promise is too much to compute, God makes Zechariah mute. And I don't think we're supposed to take this story and the moral of it is we better believe or else God's going to do something to us. But I wonder, when the weariness of the world becomes too much, perhaps some silence can be helpful. For in silence we gain perspective. We might even hear the small voice of God whisper to us, do not be afraid. In the silence, we might notice some things other than weariness. And so today, I want to invite us into a spiritual practice. And before you get all weirded out, that's just a fun, churchy way of saying we're going to pay close attention. In particular, we're going to pay close attention with a little silence to the image on our bulletin. So, find your bulletin. There's a painting on the front. And I'm inviting you to be an observer. I'm going to guide you through some questions and some silence so you can wonder. And there's no right or wrong answers here. You are just invited to pay attention to where your brain goes. And if you get way too distracted, you can just focus on your breathing. If you are a doodler or a note taker, there are pencils in your pews where you can write words in the margins around the picture. But I invite you to center yourself by beginning to take a few deep breaths with me and relaxing your body as best as you can. In and out. Allow your shoulders to lower away from your ears. Allow your arms to rest in your lap and let your feet be fully supported by the floor. In and out. Feel the weight of your body being held by the pew. And open yourself up. Take a deep breath in and out. And continue breathing deeply as you look at this image. In this moment, simply notice the visual qualities of what you see. The colors, lines, shape, form, space, and texture. Now take a deeper look. What parts of the image are your eyes most drawn to? What parts of the image did you quickly brush by or overlook? And now use your imagination. Imagine yourself in this picture. Where would you be? How would you interact with what surrounds you? Finally, observe your own emotions. How does this image make you feel? I'd like to share with you the artist's statement. So this piece is done by Lauren Wright Pittman, and it's entitled Annunciation to Zechariah. Zechariah is dressed in a breast piece, ephod, robe, checkered tunic, turban, and sash, just as the book of Exodus specifies. In my painting, gold, blue, purple, and crimson yarns are woven together and bejeweled with engraved stones, which bear the names of the sons of Israel. Zechariah stands in the holy place, wearing the most meticulous of garments. Does he expect to encounter the divine, or is he just going through the motions, lighting the incense, as an all-too-familiar scent fills the air? After all these years of fulfilling priestly duties and living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, Zechariah and his wife are still childless. Regardless of their desire for children and their culture and context, childness bore the implication of God's contempt. I ruminated on this image, a weary priest wrapped in layered fabrics, colors, symbols, textures, and rare stones that proclaim God's providence and power. The contrast is not lost on me. I often try to neglect my own weariness by putting on a veneer of unwavering trust in God, while feeling like I may suddenly unravel into a pile of beautifully curated threads, stones, and gold accessories. In this image, I decided to depict the angel as smoke from the altar of incense. Zechariah has one hand over his mouth in fear and disbelief, while his other hand cradles the notion, not yet hope, of his son's existence. Do you bind up your weariness in a neat and tidy bow? Put your head down and project okayness like me? What would it look like to acknowledge our weariness, quit powering through, and open ourselves up to what God might have in store for us? Perhaps we'll meet an angel. Dear ones, may you know in the midst of the weariness that God sees you. In this season of Advent, may you know that there is a space for all of who you are here in God's house. We don't have to be cheery and perfect. May you find a moment of stillness and silence, and don't let it make you afraid. For God promises that good things are to come. Amen. Thanks be to God.